Okay, hey, this is Fish and Frank, and another Radio Fishing, and we've got Cameron, and we're going to be talking about fishing out around Englewood. I think he's outside. I can hear the phone in his wind. And Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Cameron on the line with us. Hey, Cameron, how's it going?
How's it going, Frank?
So, I guess to let people know, you sell insurance, right?
Yeah, I do the benefits. I'm the benefits counselor for all the state of Florida employees in Charlotte, Lee, Collier, Glades, and Kendrick County.
So you work with state employees on getting health benefits and all that kind of stuff?
That's right. Supplemental benefits, you know, accident, disability, life insurance, cancer coverage, that sort of stuff.
And so if anybody from the state is listening, do you do FWC as well?
I absolutely do.
Okay, because
we was just at the Fort Myers field unit yesterday.
Yeah, we get a lot of FWC listens to the show. They want to know how badly I'm talking about stuff. you know, what am I bashing now? What am I complaining about? You know, so I have great friends with FWC. They're amazing guys.
And yeah, they are. They give me a lot of. They're a great resource for me, and so I really appreciate the service they do for us.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a show with them in just a little while. Sometime after 5 o'clock, we'll be doing a show with them. So, anyway, you sell insurance for a living, but you relax going fishing. Now, you and Robert have got to know each other pretty well. I'm going to let you guys go ahead and do the thing, and I'm going to sip some coffee and relax. So, take it away, Robert.
So I know you're out there and you're primarily fishing from shore, which interests quite a bit of people because so many people think that they got to catch all these different fish from a boat. And what you were telling me earlier is just pretty amazing. So kind of roll through it with some of your lures that you were using and where you're fishing at out there and even your techniques.
So it's the middle of summer and it's the hottest time of the year. So fishing gets pretty tough this time of year unless you're fishing early or late, which, you know, the most of the fishing that I do is usually after the state employees cut out at 5 p.m. So usually I fish from, you know, from dusk till, you know, 10 or 11 at night.
Like most normal working people?
Like, you know, normal. I could be on the couch, you know, but I think my time's better spent on the water for sure. But, yeah, you don't, you know, I have kayaks, and I've owned boats before, and, you know, I had to sell them in a move. But there's so much good water here in Southwest Florida, there's really no need to even have a boat. You can catch quality fish any time of year here in Southwest Florida. This fishery is only improving, especially in the northern part of the county, in the northern part of Charlotte County in Lemon Bay. Which, you know, predominantly I fish from Punta Gorda north. Actually, currently right now, I'm hitting the spillways on Burnt Store Road on my way home. I figured I'd cut through the Cape and then head across, make a long trek home to hit a couple fishing spots on my way back to Palm Beach County.
That's pretty cool.
And I caught one little small tarpon and two little small, you know, black water snook.
So, all right. Did you catch them on the same lure?
I caught them on the small Lake Fork swim bait on an 8-ounce jig head. When it's daytime and the sun's high and, you know, summertime, there's a lot of bait, but the bait's small, you got to max the hatch. Going with a smaller bait is going to get you more bites and more action versus you might not get a lunker, but at least you'll be catching fish when other people aren't. And I've taken a lot of my techniques from my roots when I was a tournament bass angler in Georgia to saltwater. A lot of the stuff directly applied. As far as Lemon Bay goes and the report going on in that area, you know, the water temperatures are really warm, and the only saving grace right now we have are these afternoon showers, and that's a great time to hit the water is after we get those downpours, because even a degree or two in water temperature makes all the difference in the world. It can really supercharge the fish and get them active and feeding.
Right. Well, what about that new color Rapala that you tried yesterday? He bought that X-Wrap in the 8 series with one of the new colors.
Well, I have to say, I'm just as good a consumer as I am a fisherman, and you know the lure has to catch the fisherman before it catches the fish, and that new line I've always been a if I had a survival kit, you know, that I was going to take with me, and it can only take three things with me, I would for sure take the number 8 X-Wrap. I would take an 1/8 ounce jig head and a paddle tail or a Little John, and I would probably take a topwater lure just in case I got bored, you know, like a Hedden, Spook Junior, something like that. Because when that water temperature cools off after that rain, that can be a really good topwater bite very late in the day, especially right. The surface temperatures cool down.
Right,
right now, the fish are hanging. What I've found in general around Lemon Bay area, the snook bite has been really strong. Most of the fishing that I've been doing has been at night, but early morning has also been a big producer. But those of you who don't like getting out of bed at 5 in the morning, nighttime is just as good depending on the tide.
Well, what's been some of your tricks for some of those snook over there?
Looking for bait. I try to go to areas. If you see activity on the water, there's a good chance that there's fish there. If you see bait in the area, there's a good chance of stuff moving, and finding that moving water is the key, because that moving water is going to keep the temperature down. And you got to realize that a lot of these snook are sitting on these tributaries right at the thermocline or close to the bottom, sitting underneath that hot water coming out of the shallows, just waiting on bait to get funneled through these bridges. And that's where I predominantly target, is either flats with access to deep water nearby, where the current is coming from one side of it to the other and sweeping bait and shrimp off those flats and over that drop-off where those fish will be sitting there, you know, ready to ambush their prey. The X-Wrap and that mangrove minnow color and the new mullet color and that X-Wrap, they produced phenomenally last night when I tried them out. That was the first time I tried them out. And I got a mangrove snapper on the mullet color, number 8 X-Wrap, and I got 2 snook on the mangrove minnow color, and just a whole bunch, too many ladyfish to even worry about mentioning.
Right, but when you talk about bait too, a lot of times that can be mm-hmm. the ladyfish or the mullet. It's not just like pinfish or little white bait. It can also be
right.
looking for those mullet and ladyfish popping the surface too.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll be, where you have the ladyfish, you'll have the tarpon and snook. And, you know, a lot of times I'll keep a 5,000 set up on a 7-6 rod. You know, something that I can throw a heavier lure or a flare hawk on or a big swim bait, but I can easily throw on a big, you know, a 5-0 circle hook or a 7-0 circle hook and put on a, you know, 10 or 12-inch ladyfish.
Right.
I mean, there's no better bait for a snook or a tarpon than a nice, fresh ladyfish. You know, if you can get past the first layer of water, that first 3 feet, the game fish are usually underneath the ladyfish, in my experience. And it'll get so annoying catching ladyfish that you'll have to switch it up to try something different, because you just get tired of catching ladyfish. But, you know, it's really been, they like a little bit more of a erratic action. The water's warm, the bait moves a little bit quicker. So having a stop-and-go retrieve and really get that rattle going and make it thump.
Well, that's one thing
that
I like.
Vibration.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about the X-Wraps, is because they are a suspending bait. So when you cast them out, they kind of are halfway neutrally buoyant in the water. So having that erratic action, but like you just said, that stop motion and having a pause with that lure and then start working it again, it's not fighting itself to get back to the surface when you do those pauses, and that usually will get that strike.
I can't tell you how many times, Robert, I've caught a fish when the bait has just been sitting absolutely dead still. And the bite on the X-Wraps, it usually comes when the bait is sitting completely still or just as it starts to move again after a pause.
Right.
Because you got to imagine, it's like shaking a rattle and, you know, calling the fish in. Once it hits the water, let it sit for a second, especially if the water's shallow, and get it a couple rips to get it down a little bit, and then start your retrieve. And, you know, let the fish dictate what they want. You know, if stuff's moving really fast and jumping out of water and getting chased, then a really slow, methodical retrieve might not be the best retrieve. You know, try to make it look like an injured fish, and that gets more nods than something that's just straight reels a lot of times.
Right. Now explain to me what you were doing with the X-Rap when you were over there casting off those sand flats into those little deeper troughs and the fish that you were catching there.
I mean, this goes back to Fishing Frank's website. I mean, looking at those areas, he uses Google Earth images. You can look at Google Earth, even your Google Maps, and find the definition areas where the grass starts and where it stops, and that'll give you a good indication of where you should be targeting your efforts, you know, before you even fish a place. So, you know, a lot of times I look at that before I go to a new place, but this particular area where I was fishing, it had an extensive grass flat that stick with, I think it was turtle or eel grass, it's the thick ribbon-like grass. But then, and it's about 2 foot of water over on top of the grass, and then it drops off from there. The grass will just end, and then there's a spot of sand where it's about 4 foot deep, and then it drops off to kind of a rock and mud bottom and on towards the bridge. Any of those areas, cast towards that edge, and the key point is right where that grass turns into sand on that drop-off, because those fish are sitting right on that thermocline where that hot water is coming off those shallow flats, but they're sitting several feet down in the cool water, and they'll pop up to snag a bait over top of their head. You know, snook prefer to feed above their head, but I was catching mangrove snapper on the X-Rap, which, you know, I catch them on jigs there, but, you know, they got to be really fired up to hit them on crankbait. But this has been the third trip in a row where I've been catching them on crankbait.
Which is always surprising every time you catch a mangrove on any type of artificial.
Oh, I know. I mean, they're very finicky fish, and, you know, when I bait fish for them, I don't use anything more than 20-pound leader. I usually use, you know, 12 to 15 fluoro. You know, if I'm fishing a high-pressure area and, like, at least 5 foot leader.
Well, especially right there in that Tom Adams Bridge area. I mean, that's a lot of pressure in that area for both shore fishermen and boat fishermen.
A lot. And people will use the 30, you know, what everyone says, a 30-pound leader, you know, for snook, you know, and tarpon around the bridges go a little bit higher. I mean, I caught a 44-inch snook yesterday on 25-pound leader and 20-pound mainline in tight quarters underneath the bridge. I mean, you don't have to have big tackle to catch big fish. And I'll tell you, I mean, downsizing your baits is really, 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 really key. Because big fish, often, they want a Lay's potato chip because they can eat a lot of them.
Right.
And
I call it the,
you know,
snack
give them
factor.
That smaller offering. What are you saying? Sorry about that.
I call it the snack factor because, you know, if you go up and say you got a big buffet of food up there, you might eat an olive, sweet pickle, you know, chocolate bit or something before you ever decide on a meal. And
absolutely.
If you're just walking by a table and all of a sudden you see a bowl of M&Ms, it's hard not to stop and pick one up.
That's right.
You know, but if it was a bowl full of turkey legs, you'd kind of think about it for a while, you know, or a bowl full of hamburgers, you know. Am I really hungry enough? Do I want to eat the whole thing? But if it's just something little, it looks good.
And you know, doing that smaller offering, you can often catch a fish that's not feeding or inactive, completely inactive. It's not its normal time, but it just sees something, and it's one of those, you know, smoker and a lot of game fish, they're opportunistic feeders. If the moment arises and it's ripe and it's easy for them to get, they're going to attack.
Yeah, I like that.
But if you got a big bait that's hard for it to overpower, they're going to think twice.
No, that's a really good observation there, especially this time of year with the hot weather and everything else. They're lethargic just like we are. We don't want to go out there and run after something. It'd be nice just to walk over and grab something that's easy picking.
That's right.
So
absolutely right.
Alright, one question I usually try to ask, if you were going to tell somebody, you know, just to say, hey, if you want to catch some fish this weekend, you know, what would your best advice be? Is it go to a pier or go out to the beach, or where would you think of and what would you do to catch those fish?
it all depends. I think it all depends on what you can do with your time. If your time allows to go down the street and hit the bass pond, then do that. If time allows you to get on the boat and get everything ready, then do that. If you got all the time in the world and everything's up for grabs, you know, then I would look to areas. You know, of course, I'd look at Fishing Frank's website and the fishing reports, because he posts every couple days what people been catching out of different areas. And I would say this time of year is a great time to get the family together and to go do some evening snapper fishing on an outgoing tide. And don't hesitate to cast underneath the piers and underneath the bridges. It's not about how far you cast, it's where the structure is. Snapper are a structure-oriented fish, so getting it right down in their zone is going to be the best way to get a bite versus casting out in open water and maybe getting a catfish, which none of us like.
Well, you know, it's absolutely amazing, but the old adage holds true. If you get in a boat, you go up by the pier and throw under the pier. If you go out on the pier, you stand on the pier and throw out towards where the boat would be.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is, if you're fishing on the pier, you really want to fish under that pier as much as away from it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, just like you fish El Joe Bean, you'll get all the fish that are on the flats right up underneath those wooden supports and those pillars. If you can't, this time of year, you cannot beat live shrimp for the snapper. I like to put them on a small jig head and pinch off the tail and put them through back to front, so it looks like a shrimp scooting along the bottom, because when they're agitated, they move backwards, they jet backwards. So putting them on a jig head is a good way to get it down on the bottom. And, you know, if you feel like switching out for a small soft plastic, that gives you the option to do that as well, unlike fishing with a big, a big Carolina sinker. And if you are fishing with a Carolina sinker, a Carolina rig where you've got a lead egg sinker, a bead, a small swivel, and then, you know, 2 to 4 foot of fluorocarbon, always go the lightest weight that you can possibly throw for that amount of current to get you where you need to go. Snapper can feel pressure, and you'll get way more bites with just a small split shot and casting ahead of the pier and letting it drift down to the bottom and let the current flow it through. Anything that moves at the speed of the current is natural.
Well, great advice. Now, if I'm fishing a certain spot, what I do is I use a slip sinker like a bullet weight or an egg weight, and I let the line run through it, but I don't tie the sinker onto the line at all. I want that sinker to be able to slide up and down the line. That way, when the fish hits, I feel him when he feels me. We're finding out about each other at the same time. If the sinker is fixed in position, a heavier sinker, he feels the sinker before you feel him. And that's all advantage fish. So, like you're talking about, either very light split shots or no weights, drifting it with the current is great. But sometimes that current's a little heavier, so I go to the slip. And Carolina rig, to me, works great. I think it's one of the best way to snapper fish, because when the line gets a little slack, I can pop a little bit, get that little clack going, and say, hey, there's something here. You know, come look.
Yeah, it's like ringing the dinner bell. And, you know, some people take that to another level, and they incorporate what they do for Carolina rigging for bass, and they'll put a glass, a glass bead or a metal bead, just to make even more of a clack down there. But if you're fishing heavier weight, I usually just keep my line just a little bit loose. And so if a fish does hit, I give them line or lead them with the rod so they don't feel the pressure. Just like you're saying, the weight stays on the bottom, but the fish can carry the bait off with it and eat it.
Yeah, because the line's pulling through the sinker.
That's right. So, I mean, I don't think any more than, I mean, most of the areas around here, 3/4 of an ounce is as high as I usually need to go.
Yeah, we don't have a real strong current. We only exchange about 2 feet of tide today. Now, there are exceptions, Elgin Bean, a little bit of Placida and stuff like that. But for most areas, there really isn't enough current to have heavy, you know, max weights. You just don't need it. The weights we use in this area are more for distance in the cast than for holding on the bottom. So anyway, but how? What do you think Lemon Bay is going to be like this weekend?
Well, I haven't looked at the tides. I mean, it seems like the high tide has been around 8 or 9 o'clock. The dead low has been around 8 or 9 o'clock, and the current's moving out in the afternoon. I'm not sure if it's getting earlier in the day where the low tide is, or whether it's getting late in the day. But you know that, you know, a couple days after the full moon, or a couple days before the full moon, and you got a good, decent outgoing tide, and right around a time change of day
from 5:30 in the morning till 11:30. And then from 5:30 at night until looks like midnight, from 5:30 to midnight, you're going to have that outgoing tide tomorrow night. And
it seems like a pretty good time to go hit some snook and some mango snapper for this weekend, is what it sounds like. And,
yes.
And don't be surprised if there's, I've been seeing a lot of tarpon around.
So
and
what you're saying is after 5:30, because that's when you're hitting a high tide and you're going to have that outgoing tide. So after 5:30 out there in Englewood's going to be a pretty good bet.
Yes, I would definitely say. And hitting those flats that have deep water nearby, and if you're out on the flats and you don't see any activity, it's a good bet the fish aren't there yet. If I see that, I usually fish a little bit deeper and fish jigs close to the bottom, because the fish should be feeding. They might not just be feeding where I can see them feeding. There's been a lot of small white bait. Can't exactly tell what it is. They look like the shape of like menhaden or greeny, but they're small, about an inch long, and they're in tight pocketed schools. There's been a couple pods of mullet around. The pinfish have been kind of scattered, but it seems like last night when I was out there fishing in Lemon Bay, there was a little bit bigger shrimp around. We're talking like, you know, bigger than your middle finger, which for this time of year is a pretty decent sized shrimp. They're mostly pink shrimp. But the fish don't care, what species of shrimp it is. They're all delicious to fish.
What we would do years ago is we would take a white 5-gallon bucket and put a little bit of water in it and an aerator, and then put it under a white light. And in just a matter of, didn't take long, a couple hours, 2-3 hours, and they turn very, very clear because they're going to match the bottom. And that's traditionally, if I was going to go snook fishing, I would get my bait early, put the aerator on them, get them in a little bit of water so that the water is pretty clear, and then put the light over the top, not close so it heats the water. You're going to make sure they stay cool. But they will actually turn clear colors to try and blend into the bucket. And shrimp are kind of chameleon that way. If they're in dark bottom, dark grasses, they'll turn dark colors. But by making them go clear, you put them on the hook, and the fish much more visible to the fish. And we used to do really well with the snook fishing that way out in those areas. And it more matched the local shrimp because they were clearer than what you would get from, you know, back up in the harbor. Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times you might have too many shrimp. Sometimes I put them in the refrigerator, and I'll use them the next day. If you drop their metabolism, they'll keep for much longer than a day, especially if they got air and some decent water in there. So that way you can hit them again in the morning.
Absolutely.
But, of course, if they die, you can always set up. Fish and Frank can get some more, right?
Well, that's the hope they do that. But, you know, a lot of times there's shops closer. But we hope they come down to us. But if not, I understand. Travel time is travel time. You want to be fishing, not traveling. But
I mean, I travel all over the state, Frank, and I go to every tackle shop that I find along my path. And I haven't found any place that has better prices on their crankbaits than Fish and Frank. I mean, you beat the big box stores by $1 easy. On most of your hard bait, and that's hard to beat with a local shop. So I gotta take my hat off to you on that one. I specifically come there just to buy the crankbait, and those new X-Wrap colors, those are on point. I think the next one I'm gonna get is that larger one in that mullet.
Oh, you gotta buy a ripstop. Gotta get a ripstop.
A ripstop? Is that the Storm?
No, that's the new Rapala ripstop.
Oh, it's that little tab, little tail.
Oh, you got to try it, man. Oh, I love that lure.
Really?
I absolutely love
man,
it.
You're adding something else onto my list.
Oh yeah, you're gonna it is going to be one of your favorites. I mean, you know, I can't promise because everybody's got a little different technique, but crankbait people, this is going to catch a lot of fish. You're going to get upset because you will eventually break that back tab off and it's not going to catch fish and you're going to have to buy another one. But I got to tell you, I love the lure. I'm just absolutely, I don't usually get excited. The last one I really, really liked was the Storm Twitch. And now this one is, this is just amazing.
I'm going to have to give that one a try.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of the people out there that don't do a lot of lure fishing and are kind of new, the lure thing, mostly live bait, I think a great place to start is those new live target swim baits.
Yeah, so I'll agree. They're not as easy to keep the fish on. What I do with the people and they just want to use lures, I'll take whatever decent crankbait, let's say a $5 bomber, and then we take the back treble off, put a single hook on, flatten the barbs on the front treble hook so there's no more barb on there. Makes it safer, easier to use, because when you're using lures and you got 2-3 treble hooks hanging there.
Oh, it's a danger zone, man.
Yeah, so
makes me nervous, especially fishing at night.
Yeah.
I put single hooks on all mine.
I replace the back hook with a single hook because VMC and owner both have single hook replacements for lures now. And I leave the front treble hook, but I flatten the barbs. And it's worked out great. And no mishaps. And if you do get stuck, heck, you get stuck worse than that all the time. What's the difference?
You know, yeah. I mean,
I can't go out working the yard. I'm not bleeding somewhere, so.
Yeah, that's true. We got nothing but thorns and shark stuff here in Florida.
So the cool thing is, once you get rid of the barbs on that front treble hook and put the single hook on the back, now I do leave the barb on the back hook, so you know you have to be careful of that. But it turns the treble hook from oh my god into that was bad.
It's not going to be a trip to the emergency room.
No, it's just annoying. That's all. So anyway, just. Anyway, Robert's, I had to leave and deal with a customer a minute ago, and Robert's actually dealing with somebody at the moment. But anything else we should go over?
I think we about covered it, but I definitely would make sure that, you know, if you're going to Fishing Franks and you're fishing Lemon Bay, to the Little Johns have really been producing. We got a lot of dark water coming out of all the fresh water systems, so the traditional clear water colors are not the go-to right now if the water's that tannic color. Go for like a golden brim or an avocado green fleck or something that's going to match that brownish water color. On an 8-ounce jig head, that's a good all-around bait for everything, and work it with nice sharp twitches with an upward rod tip. And that's a great search bait. If you keep your rod tip high enough, you're going to really minimize the amount of snags you're going to be dragging through, because the angle of the line is not going to drag you into stuff. It's going to hit it and deflect off of it, which also triggers a lot of reaction strikes with that type of retrieve.
Okay.
Those X-Wraps in number 8, Greenback, and those new colors, I bought them yesterday and tried them yesterday, and they work phenomenally. The live target, I caught the biggest smoke of my life yesterday. It was right around 44, 45 inches underneath Gottfried Creek Bridge on the outgoing tide on the live target thread fin. So, I mean, it's proven itself to me. And, you know, that was a personal best
say,
yesterday.
You know, hard to argue with that one. Let's go for the live target. That's actually pretty amazing. So.
And I've been hearing a lot of reports that my friends, Cameron, who works at the other marine place up in Punta Gorda, he's been destroying the bass on the big herring and the gizzard shad live target swim baits. He sent me some pictures of some beautiful largemouths that are just as long as they are big around.
Wow.
So, you know, just because they're, you know, they might be saltwater.
Well,
lures,
fish don't know.
Work in freshwater.
Yeah, fish have no idea if they're freshwater or saltwater fish. They just want to eat something that looks good.
That's true.
The only ones who know freshwater and saltwater are us. You know, nobody went down there and said, hey, bass, you're a freshwater fish. Don't eat that. That's a saltwater lure. It's not even sane to think that way. So, anyway.
I would say, have, you know, if anybody had any questions about that, live in the Lemon Bay area and having trouble catching fish, you know, I don't mind people reaching out to me. I do nothing but artificial fish with artificials 99% of the time. And, you know, I go very few days where I get skunked. I call it luck, whatever it is, but I enjoy helping others with this sport because, you know, without people growing the sport, you know, this is, I think it's extremely important, especially now, nowadays with all the video games and stuff, to get people out there and get fishing because it's still good. The fishing is still good, and it's only getting better, especially in Lemon Bay now that they opened up the path. So, my suggestion is I think this weekend is going to be a great weekend to fish, and people should get out there.
All right. Well, this is Cameron, and Cameron is a customer at the shop, and he called us in talking about a fishing report, and we said, hey, would you like to do one? And, you know, anytime you get out, you got something you want to talk about, just give us a call, and we'll put it up. Cameron sells insurance to state employees, like benefit programs to enhance your, you know, state insurance. So
with Colonial Life, so, you know, Charlotte CI, the Department of Health, any state department in Lee, Charlotte, and Collier counties.
Anywhere in Florida. Believe it or not, we have a lot of listeners on the East Coast. So if you're anywhere in Florida and you're wondering about, you want to talk to an insurance guy who actually understands fishing, and you guys can talk about insurance and fishing, give Cameron a call. His number's right there on the show. So anyway, well, thank you very much, Cameron. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. We really appreciate what you do. You do a great thing over here. I wish we had something like that on the East Coast.
Well, you know, you can tune into this anywhere you got a cell phone. Just click on the cell phone and get to the fishing reports. But we're going to be doing radio fishing and fishing updates every Monday and Friday. So getting ready for the weekend, then we're going to kind of do a weekend review, see if we were right or not on Mondays, and give a report for what's going to go on during the week. So anyway, Fish and Frank is Cameron on the phone over there. Robert's off dealing with a customer. Somebody needed, he's into some kind of specialty thing with sharks or something. So, you know, that's Robert's ball. So he's out there doing that. Thanks again for the call. I appreciate
hey,
it.
Hey, thank
Cameron.
You, Frank.
All right, we'll catch you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.